Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Clark Lee will join us at 4:20 today. But after the Vanderbilt game was over, there was another game that we all had to watch. The game of the night, Tennessee and Arkansas. And I guaranteed that Tennessee was going to win on Friday. So, Ian, I am here to be a man and apologize and admit I was wrong. Something people seem to think I'll never do or I'll never say or I'll never – I don't tell – the two things that people say that are just blatantly not true. Number one, they'll say Jared Stillman makes things up to get listeners. That's not true. You know, I may think crazy stuff, but I think it. I don't just say it. I'm not one of those people. And number two – people say, Jared Stillman will never admit when he's wrong. Uh-uh. I was wrong through and through. And I owe an apology to Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. And I'm going to tell you why. Because on Friday, you know, look, there's no question in my mind that Robbie openly roots for the Vols and Joe roots for the Vols in the closet. It is what it is. Joe will say he's objective, but I think Joe's got a little Tennessee orange blood in him. And they were scared. They were pooping their pants on Friday morning. And I'm listening to the show, and I'm listening to them start talking about Jalen Green this and Bobby Petrino that and Arkansas this. And I'm like, guys, this is a different Tennessee team. This isn't the Philip Fulmer Tennessee team that would go out there and lose games they shouldn't. And then, you know, we'd all sit there and blame the Randy Sanders or John Chavis or whomever afterwards. This is a different Tennessee era. This is a coach that doesn't have a drop of Tennessee blood in him. He is not susceptible to the problems that the Derek Dooleys and the Butch Joneses and even the Philip Fulmers were. Don't worry about it, guys. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. They'll go to Arkansas and win. And I'll be honest, I kind of kept an eye on it during the first half, but I was on the air as we had a special programming show, you know, a Stillman and Company after the Vanderbilt win. But then I watched the second half, and I kept waiting for UT to pull away. And I kept thinking, you know, UT's gone on the road, and they haven't played very well, but they're still going to win. And then when they win, I'll sit there and tell Robbie and Joe and everybody else, see, they didn't even play well. And they went out there and they won. What's that tell you? But they didn't. In fact, even at the end of the game, when Arkansas got the ball, Herbie said, or Tennessee had the ball the last time before they gave it to Arkansas, and Arkansas scored. Herbie said on the TV broadcast, he goes, Arkansas's offense with the backup quarterback in there is so inept that Arkansas is going to have to score on defense because there is no way that they're going to be able to score on offense. And I'll be darned if it wasn't one run up the middle and all of a sudden Arkansas was in position to win the game. So I owe Robbie and Joe an apology because I didn't think that was going to happen. I guaranteed it wasn't going to happen. And it happened. I was wrong. I'm disappointed in the Vols. And I'm starting to have a theory here. Just like we had the old Mike Vrabel special where the Titans would pull out the inexplicable one week only to lose the inexcusable the next week, we have what I'm going to call the Josh Heupel clunker. Once a year, Tennessee goes on the road and they play a team that they have no business losing to, and they'll find every single possible way to lose the ball game. Last year, they went on the road to Florida. And I remember telling people, guys, Florida is awful. Billy Napier is a terrible coach. Graham Mertz is a terrible quarterback. This is a horrible team. Like, get off your fuzzies about, it's a rivalry game, and Florida always plays us tough. And I'm like, don't worry about that. Florida is horrendous. They'll crush them. And Tennessee went into the swamp, and they absolutely laid an egg. It was inexplicable. Kamal Hogan, you know, ran into the guy instead of tackling him, and the Florida guy ran into the end zone for a touchdown. That Florida team was horrible. And then, of course, the South Carolina team in 2022. the Dabo Swinney, they're at home flipping burgers thinking they're in the playoff, and then all of a sudden they don't show up, and they end up sitting at home. And that's exactly what happened. Tennessee went on the road to South Carolina, a team that didn't belong in the game with them, and South Carolina crushed them, and then Hendon Hooker got hurt, and that added insult to injury. And this week, Arkansas. A disgrace on both sides of the ball and disgraceful coaching. That team wasn't ready to play. Their game plan was horrific. You know, hey, we're going to play conservative ball no matter what. Why? Well, you know, this could be and then the defense. When the defense had to get a stop, this is supposedly a good defense. I thought that they were a great defense. And when you've got to get a stop at the end of the game against a backup quarterback, if you've got a great defense, you have to get the stop. I remember Coach Shoup when he would come on the show, and he told me as a defensive coach that once you figured out what the game was going to be, you adjusted your expectations. And that even if it was going to be a shootout game, a 44 to 42 game, you would ask of your defense not, hey, we need you to start stopping them every time down, but you'd ask of the defense, I need you to make me one play. You guys may give up three more touchdowns, but if on one of their last possessions, you can get us a turnover, or you can get us a pick six, or you can, that's all I can ask. Vandy gave up 35 points, but they got the big play they needed at the end of the game when they had the strip sack of Jalen Milroe. Tennessee, once you decided this was going to be a defensive game and it looked like a defensive struggle, which is a shame because I don't think Arkansas's defense is very good, but once you decided this was going to be a defensive struggle, now the defense has to understand we can't give up the one big play that puts Arkansas in field goal range and costs us the game. Just inexcusable. And so I've decided this is a once-a-year thing for Josh Heupel every season, an SEC road game that they have absolutely zero business losing and then turning around and losing. I can't explain it. I can't explain what happened last year at Florida. I can't explain what happened 2022. The Vols were so buttoned up. They went out, they beat Alabama at home in a game that I didn't think they had any chance to win. They went to Georgia and they got beat handedly, but I mean, again, it wasn't like they didn't show up. And then all of a sudden they play South Carolina. They got South Carolina and Vandy on the schedule. And all you've got to do is beat South Carolina and you're in the playoff. You don't have to play in an SEC title game. You don't have to beat a Georgia or an Alabama. You're in the playoff. And they lost that. They just didn't show up. And again, it's not like this happens two times a year, three times a year. This is a once-a-year thing. The Josh Heupel clunker. And I don't know what it is when it comes to Heupel, in which they have one game like that, what feels like every single year. And he's been doing it long enough now that we can say this is a thing. Just like we had been, you know, Mike Vrabel had been coaching long enough that we had kind of gotten used to the everybody's hurt against the Houston Texans, but they'll win that game. But then they'll go on the road and they'll lose to Zach Wilson and the Jets. They'll beat the Rams the week after Derrick Henry gets hurt, the eventual Super Bowl champion Rams, and then they'll lose at home to a terrible Houston Texan team with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. It was just the inexplicable, and it felt like it happened. The Vrabel special. It became a thing. It was real. And I am starting to think that the yearly Josh Heupel SEC road game clunker is a reality. It's a thing, and it's a thing until it's not. And so whatever it is that is happening to this ball club once a year, every year, on the road, in the SEC, whatever it is, he's got to get figured out or you're never going to win a national championship. Because the road is too hard for these SEC teams that don't get the bye. Like if you finish seventh and you make it into the playoff, you're going to have to, I guess you would host the first game, and then you would have to play in the semifinal. Like, it's too hard. So Josh Heupel, I mean, he's got a program that I think, you know, between the NIL money they have and the way he coaches and the way the game's trending, like, I think that they should be competing for national titles sooner rather than later. But not if you can't go take on a – that Arkansas team sucks. That offense is terrible. Their defense gave up 30-something points, I think, in a half to Oklahoma State. They suck. And Tennessee still found a way to lose. So, Robbie, Joe, I apologize. You guys were right to crap your pants and be worried about your Vols. And I'm sorry for your sake that they lost. 615-737-1025. Now the other thing that really got up my craw Saturday night, which, again, a lot of people are talking about the quarterback, but the coach is not innocent in any of this either. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love my friends at Hiller. They take great care of my home. They were at my home last week. They can do the exact same for you. And I know they'll do a great job because, again, they do a great job for me. And it is spooky season, and everyone is thinking about Halloween. And this month, it's all treats and no tricks with my guys at Hiller. During their spooky good fall giveaway, get a free Blackstone griddle, a free Solo stove, or a Yeti Tundra cooler with select home upgrades. Or enjoy $99 specials like an HVAC tune-up. Visit happyhiller.com for all the details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got to believe they were extremely excited about what they saw from Vanderbilt, because they're proud Vanderbilt supporters, also proud supporters of the Preds and of the Vols. That's Hiller. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Yamaliava, this is going to be the last play of the game. Scrambles and is shoved out of bounds. No time left. Arkansas pulls the upset. Last play for all the poise that Nico has. He's sort of lost track of the situation there, Kirk, with the clock winding down.
Yeah, but remember I talked about the three defensive backs. They kept these three back to take away any of the vertical shots, and then they had the underneath tight coverage. He's trying to get the ball to the left here to 19 stays. Watch how he's looking that way initially, and he comes off of it. That's just look at his head. Looks. Now he's got to try to make a play. There's no one open downfield. So now he's thinking, somebody work with me. Somebody work with me.
Got to let it go, though.
Yeah, there's nobody there. Yeah, of course, you got to let it go. Young guy lets it just kind of, he was so locked in on that left side. There's nowhere to go with the ball. And, yeah, he should throw it up, give somebody a chance. But he's a young guy. He'll learn from it. But really, this is about Arkansas. It's about what they did at home tonight, pulling off this upset.
Herbie. I mean, look, I love Herbie. He's a good man. But even Chris Fowler's like, I mean, he's got to throw the ball, right? Like, you know, well, he's trying. He's looking at his left side. He's waiting for somebody to come open. He's trying. And Fowler's like, he needs to throw the ball, though, right? Like, at some point, he's got to throw it. Yeah, well, he'll learn. But let's not take away from Arkansas. Herbie, if you don't know that that ball's got to come out, you shouldn't be in the game. It's plain and simple. I don't care if it's college, the NFL, I don't care. If you cannot sit there in that moment and say, I have got to throw this football, then you need to sit on the bench and they can put somebody else in there that knows the rules. But when I saw that happen, I knew that Nico was going to be the one that gets most of the flack at the end of the game, because that was the final play and that was the craziest play. That was the most wrong play that we saw in that stretch. But I think we have to ask, when's the coach going to manage the game correctly too? Like, where did these people, both Nico and Josh Heupel, where did they learn how to manage the clock? And again, everyone's going to make the big deal about Nico running the ball out of bounds because it was criminal. But Josh Heupel had two timeouts to start that drive, and they threw a ball down the field 40-something yards, and they complete the pass. And Josh Heupel thinks with a freshman quarterback on the road at the end of the game that Nico should be able to just manage the next play. I'm like, I see the ball that gets completed down the field. I'm not stupid. I know the rules. I know the clock stops under 2 minutes when you get a first down. That's college. It's not the pros. I got it. But they complete a pass 42 yards down the field. And yes, the refs have to spot the ball before they start the clock, and the refs have to run down the field too. But with two timeouts, you're asking Nico with 30 seconds left, and I don't exactly know the time on the clock. I know it was 35 when they snapped it. I don't know exactly the time on the clock. I think it was 59 when they threw it, and it was 35 when they snapped it. You're asking Nico to run everybody up to the line, to then check what the defense is doing, look over to the sideline, see what play they're running, call it out so that everybody knows what to do. Call timeout! What are you trying to take those timeouts home with you? You needed a play to get into scoring range because you're down by five. So you need to at least get close enough that you can take shots to the end zone or shots to the sideline that can get you in a first and goal from the seven or something like that. Or with two timeouts, again, you can still throw the ball underneath. And I would understand if Nico was Hendon Hooker 2 years ago, who's a fifth-year quarterback, who's running that two-minute drill, who throws the ball 42 yards down the field and is able to get everybody up on the ball. But instead, Josh Heupel thinks that Nico should be able to run this. First of all, he treats Nico like a baby, you know, with the conservative way that they played. And then he turns into treating him like he's Peyton Manning as a senior. And it's like, Josh, time out. You cannot take those timeouts home with you. I've always joked about, like, if I was an athletic director, and I'd never do this because this is how you really piss off the coach, but, I mean, I would walk in with, like, a giant thing that just says timeout on it. Like the Monday after a coach loses a game because he's afraid to call his timeouts, and then he ends up with two timeouts or a timeout at the end of the game. I would take it with me, and I would drop it off on his desk and say, here's the timeout you didn't call on Saturday. I'm glad we have, do we have a spot for it on the wall somewhere so we can hang our timeouts that we didn't use? I mean, that's what the timeouts are for. And while, again, Nico has to know, that ball has to go into the end zone. Like, there's no excuse for you trying to run that ball out of there unless you think you can run it into the end zone. And not a single person in the world thought that Nico would have been able to run that ball into the end zone. While that's one part of it, Heupel really hurt their chances to win by not calling that timeout. And I thought that was basic coaching. Like, he thought they were going to complete a 42-yard pass, not substitute, because you don't have time to substitute, can't substitute, you're going no huddle, 42 yards down the field, not substitute, run up to the line, call out the play, look at the defense, because again, it does you no good if you can't look at the defense. If you just get everyone on the ball, 52, hike, and all of it, you don't know what the defense is doing. It could be zone, it could be man, you don't know. So he's got to look at the defense, and so now he's a young quarterback, and young guys like to hold the ball or maybe run the ball or panic a little bit. Time out. You just hit a 42-yard play. You've got positive momentum. You're now in scoring range. You still have another timeout. So let's say you take a sack, or let's say something like that. You still have the timeout. Instead, Heupel thought that Nico could run this like a veteran quarterback and run a play. You know, if you were so worried about the second timeout, spike the ball. But you can't let 20 seconds run off the clock when there's only 35 seconds left. And you can't ask a freshman quarterback to be able to run this like a fifth-year senior. So I'm sorry. And I know, look, Nico's getting paid, and I know Nico's not playing for free. Like, he's getting paid a lot. And there are high expectations when you come in recruited as highly as he was and paid as much as he was. Like, I understand there are expectations, and Nico's got to meet them. But the coach has to do his part, too. Like, if that's the NFL, there's no doubt on a 42-yard gain, you bang the timeout. But in college, you can do it, too. Just because the clock stops doesn't mean it's a license to not call a timeout. To make sure that you've got the guys on the field you want on the field, make sure you have the play you want called, make sure the quarterback knows what you want to do. Like, timeout, Josh. It's not that hard. I was disappointed by that. One texter says, preach, Jared. He coached horribly. Another texter says, I think he lets them party too much on the road. I wouldn't know anything about that before I make that accusation. But my question to you would be, then why doesn't it come up in the other road games? It's just once a year, they have a road game. Tennessee does. They go on the road every year, and they just clunk one away. And I don't know it. And I don't, I don't know how they do that. Like, I don't know how all of a sudden they every year find a way to lose a game that they have no business losing. Again, this is the Josh Heupel, Mike Vrabel special. We're calling it the Josh Heupel clunker. Because I don't think that Heupel wins a game every year that he absolutely, positively shouldn't win. Did UT, Ian, off the top of your head, did UT win a game last year that we said that they had no chance to win or that they absolutely, positively couldn't win? Like some monumental victory
last
year?
No, not last year. Not with Milton, no.
Yeah, I can't think so. So, again, they didn't have any of that, so it's hard for me to think that they would do that. But, again, it's if you want to win a national title, those things can't happen. You can't have those things. Boy, what a bad loss for UT. I do wonder this. I remember 4 years ago, it's funny, I moved houses. And the night that I moved houses, let me say this. I've got, you know, everybody knows I'm with TriStar Moving, and they do a great job, and it's a great process. But I think every single person on the planet hates moving, and I'm certainly one of them. And it's like an all-day thing, and it's and I remember when I moved in 2020, and I remember finally, like, sitting down and being like, and I didn't have any TVs up on the wall yet at the new house, but I had like a little mini projector screen, which I still have today and still use. But I moved and I had a giant white wall upstairs, which ultimately ended up being replaced by a huge TV. The huge TV that I love to watch. And when ESPN decides to give me split screen on Monday Night Football, I go crazy because I didn't buy that TV to be small on purpose. But so I had this mini projector up against the white wall. It looked great. And I was so tired from moving and everything else. And I was sitting down watching the Vols just get housed by Arkansas. And that was not a very good Arkansas team, 2020. And I just think it's funny that here we are 4 years later, just move homes again, and watching the Vols in Arkansas. And it's almost like this Arkansas loss might have been more painful for the Vols than that one, because the Vols knew they had a bad team in 2020. I think we know Tennessee's got a good team this year. And yet, clunker. Which was so disappointing. I also laughed. The guy on News 2 that does the weekend news, he was, Ian, I don't know, did you stay up for the news after the Vols game on Saturday?
You know what? Maybe for a little bit. Yeah, I don't quite remember what happened in the news, though.
So when they went to News 2, they had like a news guy doing the news. And he talked about the Vandy game first and then brought up the UT game. And he said it brought up the UT game. And after he talked about the Vandy game, in which he said Diego Pavia, it's Diego Pavia, but he said Diego Pavia, and then he basically finger-wagged the Vols. He was like, and the Vols just lost on the road at Arkansas, and if they want to make it to the college football playoff, they're going to have to play better on offense, defense, and not turn the ball over, and they also might have to coach better. More on that in sports. Coming up next on News 2. I laughed so hard. I'm like, here's just a run-of-the-mill news anchor, and he's just like, hey, Vols. Just wagging his finger.
He must have went
right
to,
into the camera.
He must have gone to UT. Must be
no,
a fan.
No, I could tell. I mean, I assume he didn't go to UT. I don't think he's a sports guy. Like, I think he's one of those sports guys that, like, casually watches a game, but is not a sports guy. Like, when Emily Proud used to do the Saturday news, I can tell you right now, Emily Proud knew what she was talking about. I don't think this guy is Emily Proud. And I did laugh. I mean, I just laughed so hard. The guy just wagging his finger at the Vols. For some reason, I just thought it was hilarious. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Here on our program, we're to your phones next on the Vols loss at Arkansas. Vandy on the table as well. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 through the game.
It's a full concept read. He ended up scrambling off of it. End of the day in that scenario, you got to get the ball up and give one of your guys an opportunity to go make a play. Nico, just like me and just like our football team, which is that we had played better. It's that situation, you can't, keep the ball in your hands. You want to give somebody an opportunity to go make a play. He's disappointed with it, but he's got to come back and bounce back from it. He's played way too good not to respond the right way, and I know he will.
I don't know, I'd say that Nico's played really, really well. Expectations are everything in life. Nico threw for 300 yards and a half against Chattanooga. Other than that, he hadn't thrown for 300 yards this season. I don't know that I'd say so far. Nico's played really good ball. I'm not sure I'd say that. Not given what the expectations were with Nico and the money and the hype and the recruiting and all of that, I'm not sure I'd say that. Now, I was reading The Athletic. I guess they have their, playoff models and all that kind of stuff. And apparently, Tennessee is now listed as a probably in. Texas, Alabama, and Georgia are listed as definitely in. Ole Miss and Tennessee are listed as probably in. A&M, LSU, and Missouri are in the mix, and they say keep an eye on Oklahoma. Where's Vandy? Where's Vandy? We need to have an investigation at The Athletic on that. To your phones. Your phones are driven by WillScottyHunter.com. One person did text me, and they criticized Heupel for not calling the timeout at 35 seconds, but they said, but he'll run the ball at 17 seconds. I think that was a botch snap. I think that the ball hit Nico in the hands, and I think the running back picked it up and ran with it. I don't think it was a designed running play. Also, I love how Josh Heupel at the end of the game is Nico probably wishes he could have that one back. You need to worry about what you can have back from the game, because I didn't think he was very good. Chasing Light and Wife Blood says, and our phone lines are by WilsonCountyHunter.com, the good thing is the Vols only dropped to number 8. If they win out and only lose to Georgia at Georgia, they make the playoffs and more than likely don't have to play in a pointless SEC championship game now. I still kind of value an SEC championship, and you're guaranteed into the playoff if you play in the SEC title game. Here's what I'll say, though. You still have to beat Bama. If they only lose to Georgia at Georgia, they're still probably in. Okay, well, you have to beat Alabama. And if you think you had a bad day, Alabama beat Georgia the week before. We know Alabama's good. Alabama's quarterback is good. Alabama's number one receiver is 17 years old, and he would be the number one receiver on the Tennessee Titans today at 17 years old. We know Bama's good. You still have to beat Bama. And there's no guarantee that you can do that, because I don't know if you guys watch how Vanderbilt's quarterback played on Saturday. Nico is not doing what Diego was doing. So let's not get too caught up. I think if you're Tennessee, you have to look at your team and say, hey, we got to get back to the drawing board and figure out if we can get more out of this quarterback. Matt says, Josh Heupel has never been that great of a coach. He can recruit good enough athletes and runs a pass-heavy, fast-paced offense that only works because college defenders are terrible overall. He can't manage the clock at all, and it shows multiple times each year. We usually just win because of the overall college football product is atrocious, so the good athletes that he gets are better with the UT-SEC name value to cover how horrible he really is. So I'm not going to sit there and say that. I'm not going to say that Josh Heupel's a bad coach, because I remember what Tennessee was before Josh Heupel got there. Okay? Tennessee was bad before Josh Heupel got there. To the point that me, somebody who grew up rooting against Tennessee, actually kept saying on the radio, it's time for Tennessee to be good again. It's time for Tennessee to get back in the mix so that their games against Alabama and Georgia and LSU and everybody else, those games matter the way they mattered when I was a kid. I will say this. I did take great joy in Tennessee's terribleness for a while, but it got to a point. So I know that Josh Heupel's got Tennessee back to respectability to the point that he's a good coach. But I am going to be watching this clock management a little bit more closely, because I thought his clock management on Saturday was horrific. And Blake Bedingfield's brought this up about Brian Callahan at paulkaharski.com, and it's something that, because he said it, it just kind of clicks in my mind a little bit more. Something I've been thinking about. The offensive coordinator slash head coach guy. Sometimes it's hard to manage the clock and manage the game and call the plays at the same time. Surely it's hard. I mean, that would almost be like if I was running the board at the same time I was doing this show. And I do wonder if it's hurting him when it comes to those strategic moments. I do wonder if that's a little bit of a problem they have. I can't believe they lost to Arkansas.
I mean, it's a road game at night in the SEC.
Yeah,
stuff like
Arkansas
that happens, though.
Sucks. Yeah,
I
Arkansas
mean, you stinks. Just look down the street.
No, that's a... See, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. That's not just, a... Hey, things happen in the SEC.
Hey, you never know. On the road, SEC, at night, evening, you never can tell.
Oklahoma State didn't have that problem in the second half against Arkansas. They scored on every possession, I think. And again, with Heupel, why is it one game every year? It's one game with him. And I don't know what it is.
This wasn't as bad as the South Carolina thing, was it?
Well, I don't think that team was as good.
Yeah, maybe not.
Rita texts in and says, from Rita to the Stillman Show, had a 10-leg parlay, and the UT game was the last leg that busted the bet. Cash out early on a 4-0 team. Who would have guessed? Never would have guessed to go with the Vanderbilt upset. I'll say this. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, and I've told the story about growing up a Vanderbilt fan and how, again, all these fan bases, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, it's like, my daddy and granddaddy watched Auburn every week, and my daddy and granddaddy watched the Gators together. And but like, growing up a Vanderbilt fan, we watched Tennessee all those years because Vanderbilt wasn't very good. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, the fact that your team beat Alabama and then 2 hours later, the Vols lost to Arkansas in just horrific fashion. I mean, you can't ask for better nights. I mean, you really can't. Some pretty impressive stuff. 615-737-1025. Okay, I got a bunch of jumbled up NFL thoughts. So we're just going to roll through them, and we're going to do them next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on our program, plus Clark Lee will join the program at 420. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
With the game in the balance, snap, place, kick on the way. From 59, it is good. With zeros on the game clock. That's how the Houston Texans win, and they do so in regulation.
The Houston Texans found a way to beat the Bills yesterday. It looked like early on they were going to run the Bills out of the building, and they end up with a 59-yarder from Kyemi Fairbairn in the Houston Texans, what I'm calling their Bruce Matthews uniforms. After Bruce Matthews narrated the video about the Houston Blue in H-Town, which, again, if I own the Titans, I threw a fit about this on Friday, Ian. I said, if I own the Titans, I'd call Bruce Matthews today, and I'd say, go be a Texan. You're done here.
Oh, wow.
We're not going to unretire your number or take you out of the Ring of Honor, but don't call us. You go be with them. If you want to go pump up their uniforms, go be with them. We don't want you. And eventually, one day, we'll get good, and don't call us. That's what I would say. That's how disrespectful I found it. But I did watch a lot of NFL football yesterday, and while again, we got a ton of college today, and Clark Lee will join us in the next hour. Let's get to kind of the top takeaways from week 5 of the NFL season while the Titans were on their bye.
Number 1.
Houston's legit. Houston is legit. They are no worse than the third best team in the AFC. Kansas City, Baltimore, and we know the difference between Baltimore and Kansas City is a toe. Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston, line, everybody else. Houston's going to win this division. They're going to have this division wrapped up by Thanksgiving. They're going to win this division. They're going to make it to the AFC playoffs. And I would just say this. If I was a wild card team that ends up making it and gets Houston, I wouldn't want to play them. And if I was a division, if I was Buffalo, if I was Cincinnati, and I think Cincinnati might be done after they couldn't catch a snap. But if I was one of those teams, I wouldn't want any part of the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud wasn't his best. Nico Collins got hurt, and they still won the game. The Texans are legit.
Number two.
Derrick Henry still got it. I know for 2 years I took phone calls on this program. Jared, you have to admit he doesn't look the same anymore. And I kept saying, it's the line. They've got a left guard who weighs less than he does. And you've seen this offensive line and how bad they are. This offensive line for 2 years was so bad that it made the best running back in the NFL look like he was falling apart, like he was on the downhill. Then he goes to a good team, and all of a sudden, he's the king again. Derrick Henry was never washed, folks. He still got it. And he delivered a victory to the Ravens yesterday.
Number three.
Indy and Jacksonville watched a lot of that game yesterday. They are both awful. And we'll talk more about Indianapolis throughout the week ahead of the Titans playing them. But, I mean, there is nothing good about that Indianapolis Colts team. Nothing. They can't play defense. They're worst in the league. They don't run the ball, even though they can. They're 12th in rushing in the NFL, 21st in attempts. Their coach is a moron. Flacco is better than the parts around him, which is saying something because Flacco at this point in his career is a journeyman backup. And Jacksonville on the other side, they're awful too. I mean, it was watching two bad football teams. You fit right in with the two of them. I mean, they are terrible, and I really think Indy's a mess, and it's not getting better. Because it starts at the owner, and he's not going to change. So, I think there's at least a little good news as Houston's legit. Indy and Jacksonville both stink. I watch that game. They stink. Lawrence stinks. The Colts stink. It's ugly.
Number four.
The Jets stink, too, and they need to fire Robert Saleh. They need a spark. You know, remember when Mike Vrabel switched the quarterback and he went to Ryan Tannehill, and he said at 2-4, he goes, we just need a spark. You know, I'm just looking for something to spark the team. And he made the quarterback switch. That's what the Jets need to do with the coach. Now, Ian brought up a great point during a break, which is if they fire Robert Saleh, then they maybe have to make Nathaniel Hackett the head coach. And that's not a good idea. So come up with a plan B. But, they've got to get rid of Robert Saleh. I mean, he's no good. It's not going to change. This is your last crack at it with Aaron. Get somebody else in there to coach him and see if you can get better results. Saleh is not the guy. He's got to go. He should have been fired at the end of last year. Do it now. Maybe you have a chance to save your season.
Number five.
Ian, I'm feeling pretty good about my Sam Darnold comeback player of the year prediction.
Another win.
Sammy D, 5-0. And I remember the early talk with Sam Darnold was he's going to be the starting quarterback in Minnesota because over J.J. McCarthy before J.J. got hurt because the beginning part of their schedule was so brutal with San Francisco and Aaron Rodgers in London and Green Bay on the road. And Sam Darnold just keeps winning. Houston early on. And Sam Darnold's not perfect. I mean, the Vikings have a good team, which is why I knew Sam Darnold was going to have a good year. Because he's got a good team around him. He's got the best receiver in the NFL. He's got a good coach. He's got a good defense. And Sam Darnold, to me, he's one of these guys who, like Jared Goff, like Ryan Tannehill, like Kirk Cousins, like, you give them a good team, and he'll win you games. Which is why I'm not sure that is valued at $55 million a year. Because, again, well, okay, if I don't sign Tua, if I don't sign Trevor Lawrence, if I don't sign these guys, I don't have to go to C.J. Beathard. I could just go get the Sam Darnolds. And there will be a guy like Baker Mayfield 2 years ago, like Sam Darnold last year. There will be a guy this year who's a backup somewhere next year or who doesn't get re-signed by his current team, who's out there who can be this kind of quarterback. It might be Daniel Jones, who won a game against Seattle yesterday. But Sam Darnold feeling good about comeback player of the year through the first 5 weeks.
Number six.
And finally, I don't know how many of you guys stayed up to watch the Cowboys and the Steelers last night. Ian, I was not one of them.
Me either.
Did you watch any of the game last night?
Yeah, I did. I watched, I don't know, maybe till about 10:30, 11.
I watched about a quarter, and I don't know what time that was.
I think the game started at 8:45.
I felt so bad for NBC because NBC, you know that at the beginning of the season, all the networks, specifically NBC and Fox, were begging for Steelers-Cowboys. Like, that is a made-for-TV game. It's like Chiefs-Cowboys is just TVs written all over it. And you know they wanted Steelers-Cowboys, and then they get this massive delay. And while I appreciate a good Steeler-Cowboy game, I wasn't around in the 70s. It's not like it's the end of my life that I didn't watch the end of that game yesterday. And I know NBC must have taken it on the chin with the lightning delay. Nothing they can control. But I'm not staying up to watch that game. So I saw that Dak came back in the end. Dallas won the game. I saw CeeDee Lamb and Dak got into it on the sideline or something like that. Whatever. I'm not staying up for that. Those were my week five takeaways, and we have the Chiefs tonight going up against the Saints. 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt with the win and the upset of the century so far for Vandy football. But coming up next, Nick Saban knew this would happen, even if he said the opposite. We'll get to that coming up next here. Stillman & Company, 1025. 106.3 The Game.